Amen. Thank you, Raina. Thank you, everybody. How are we doing tonight? Good. Okay, last week we sold out all the books that we had. We promised that we were going to get some more, and I was surprised they came in as soon as they did. So we have another batch of books out there. Okay, if you weren't here last week, this book we ordered so that you can go a little bit deeper in the topic that we've been covering in this series on the blood covenant. Amen. It's $20, 20 even. We're not doing any pennies or change or anything like that, but cash only. Okay, we don't want to get involved with credit cards and stuff like that. So we have another 24. We have another 24. Seems like we're going to be putting out in increments of 24 books. So please make yourself available to this book, okay? Because this is going to really enhance the teaching here. And besides, you have it to hold on to for the future and go back and read up on it again. It's an amazing resource. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, listen. Joe, could you hand me one of those bottles of water? I forgot to bring one up here. Okay, so today's Wednesday, right? Does anybody know what happens on the first Friday of every month? Prayer school. We used to call it monthly prayer. Now we're calling it prayer school because there is a lot of instruction that takes place on the subject of prayer, and then we do it by instruction and demonstration. Now, this Friday night, we're going to be observing as a church our National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer officially is tomorrow, May the 2nd, but since we don't meet on Thursdays, and we will be meeting on Friday night, I'm asking you please to come out. Now, there's a special reason I'm asking you please to come out for this particular Friday night. How many of you understand and believe that God still has prophets on the earth today in this present day? Okay. And how many of you know that there are prophets that are profitable and there's prophets that are liabilities? Okay, so you know there's a lot of them out. There's many voices in the land. You can't pay attention to everybody. But we do know that there are some individuals who have a proven track record through the years. Some of those people, I could throw some names out at you, and you would recognize them if you've been in Christianity for any number of time, like Cindy Jacobs, Dutch Sheets, Tim Sheets, Chuck Pierce. These are not fly-by-night people. These are people who have been, God's used to give, to alert the church to certain things throughout the years, to kind of give us a instruction, you know, because prophecies for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is because within the last week or so, a group of these individuals have published what they believe is a word from the Lord. We, in the leadership here, a bunch of us have watched these videos, and truthfully, they're alarming. Because we have to understand something. You know the Holy Spirit speaks to His people, right?
Yes.
Now, how many of us understand, and I don't think, just we don't talk about this enough, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come.
Yes.
And so we get that in our head because God is love and God is good and God wants the best for us, that the Holy Spirit's always going to show us good things. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. And they're warnings. And they're an alarm to the church so that the church can pray. Because there are some times, and you see this in the scriptures and you see it throughout history, there are some times that when the church prays, things can be averted or things can be lessened. Okay, I'm convinced that when the attack happened in New York, that God was trying to get to people to pray, and obviously some people did pray, but that disaster could have been averted if the church woke up and paid attention to what was happening. You've heard me tell the story if you've been in this church for any length of time. What happened that weekend? 911 was on a Tuesday. That Sunday, after service, my wife and I had to go up to Newark Airport to pick up our son and another young man from church who had gone out to Tulsa, Oklahoma to go to a youth conference. And we went to go pick him up. And when we got off the turnpike There's that wide turn that you make to go to, is it exit 13, I think it is. I should know that, I was born and raised in Elizabeth. Exit 13, when you come around there, you see the skyline. And my wife was driving because I was exhausted because it was after church. And as we turned around there, I heard, like somebody was sitting in the back seat, take a good look at the skyline, because very shortly it'll suffer a terrorist attack and it'll never look the same again. And I was like, okay, thinking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now. Well, you know what happened that Tuesday morning. So I've tried to train myself that when anything comes down the pike, that not to ignore it, but to not to get crazy, not to be paranoid, and to make more of it than it should be. But there's a reason why God speaks to his prophets so that the church would get direction and instruction on how to proceed. Now, some of the things that have been prophesied, you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I mean when I say prophesied? Some of the things that have been spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, okay, are quite alarming, okay? And they involve this nation, okay? We're going to devote our time Friday night as a church, as New Beginnings, as we are, I believe, held responsible for the region that God has placed us in. We're going to be praying for our nation. I'm going to ask you, please, do your best to be here. We only spend an hour, unless the Holy Spirit kicks in and wants us to do more, but we plan to spend an hour. So we start promptly at 6. We try to finish promptly at 7. I mean, we might go to a quarter after, whatever. Now listen, I don't believe that the scriptures teach that the more people you have praying, the better it is. I believe one in faith can change things. But the Bible does tell us that one can put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000 to flight. So it's multiplied. It's not addition, it's multiplication. So please come and lend your voice, come and lend your faith. Let's pray. Look, you don't need a prophet to tell us that we're in bad times right now. And take into consideration, this is why I don't hold back from speaking these things, because take into consideration the fact that we, the public here in the Western world, almost never hears the truth about what's really going on. So we have to rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're not being told truth through the media. We're not being told, even, you know, if something is this big, they'll tell you this much. And they'll only tell you what you want, what they want you to know. We pretty much say, well, we have the internet. Yeah, but we still live in a very closed society. We already live in a closed society. Our information is controlled. Our information is let out a little bit at a time and always framed in such a way to accomplish an agenda. So we don't really know what the heck is going on, even in our own country, okay? But the Holy Ghost does. And I believe if we'll press in and we'll pray and we'll trust God and believe God, he'll show us exactly how to pray. He'll show us what scriptures to pray. He'll show us what areas and what regions to pray for, okay? Amen. Amen? Amen? So I'm urging you, please, come and join us Friday night. So let's play our part. Because listen, there's a day that's going to come that we're all going to stand before Jesus, Amen. Who is the head of the church. And when there's an assignment that comes down the pipe from through the prophets, we're going to be held responsible. What did you do with that? You look back in biblical history, look at during the prophet Jeremiah's time. The prophet Jeremiah was told, Jerusalem's going to get destroyed. Prepare the people. Jerusalem's going to get destroyed. The Babylonians are going to come. They're going to lay siege to the city. They're going to destroy the temple. You're going to be carted off to Babylon. The people did not want to hear it. Therefore, they never repented. And then it could have been averted, but it wasn't averted because the people never took heed. In fact, what they did to Jeremiah is they took him and put him in a well and sunk him to his waist in mud. That was the reward he got for following God. Again, the Holy Ghost doesn't always show us good things. I remember Pastor Joy and I, very early on when the church first started, we found out that a person that we knew, a family friend, the husband had a stroke and was in the hospital, brick hospital here. Brick Hospital, Point Pleasant Hospital. That was when Point, that's how long ago it was, when Point still had the hospital over there. And so it was late at night, it was like 11 o'clock, and he met me there at the hospital to go pray for this individual in a coma. I'm walking down the hallway towards the person's room, the two of us together. And as soon as I got close to the room, I heard on the inside, don't pray for his healing, he's not gonna come through this. Pray that he transitions smoothly. Amen?
Amen.
So now I stop him and say, listen, this is how we have to pray. The Lord showed me already, he's not gonna come out of this. But what's the most important thing? That he gets to heaven, right?
Amen.
Most important thing. And now I was there the night that this man got born again. I know he was saved. I was there. I was at a church where he got born again. And so I wasn't concerned about his salvation. What I was concerned about, him suffering, transitioning from this life to the next one. Because, you know, there's a certain way to pray for people like that. All right? Sometimes, some of you might be in that position right now where you have a loved one that's, you know, they're suffering. And you know, you don't want to see them suffer. And so sometimes the Lord will instruct you to pray to release them. I've had that happen on a number of occasions. So I said to him, I said, look, this is how we're going to pray. Lord, show me already. Now, Brother Hagin, the college, Bible college that we went to, Brother Hagin had taught us that the Lord taught him that when a person's near to death like that, Christian, I'm talking about a non-believer, I'm talking about a Christian, okay? With a non-believer, you pray for God's mercy and mercy and mercy and mercy, okay? Because even at the last second, as long as there's breath in a person's life, they can still get saved. Amen. But when a person's a believer, he said, pray that they go through the gates, not through the jaws of death. Because death is an enemy of mankind. Did you know that? Okay? Obviously, you don't. Death is an enemy of mankind. You and I are not supposed to experience death. Are you listening to me? Adam was not created to die. Death came because of Adam's disobedience, because of sin. You got it? So get that brainwashed religiosity out of your head. Well, you know, God doesn't take anybody. God allows us to come because it's just a consequence of what happened to mankind. But the day's going to come when death is going to be finally defeated. So death is an enemy. So death will try to make a person go through the hell that they're not going to experience eternity, will try to make them go through that hell while they're still alive in the body here. Are you listening to me? So when you're like, you pray for the person to pass through the gates peacefully to transition from this life to the next one. Okay, are you listening?
Yes.
Again, I'm coming back to the thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't always show you good things. He shows you things to come so that you're prepared. So we went in, we prayed. I prayed for a smooth transition because, again, be careful how you talk in front of people when they're in comas because their spirit's still in their body. And be careful that you don't try to help somebody when they're in a coma because the devil says to you, oh, they're in a coma. They can't understand anything. No, no, no. No, we know they can hear. My wife and I ministered to a person that she knew growing up who, this was back in 87, 88, somewhere in that area. It was a young man who had juvenile diabetes, obviously from the time he was a young child. And by the time he was what? Billy was what, like 30-something? He had to have kidney transplants, okay? So the kidney transplant he had on Easter Sunday, his body rejected it, went into complete failure, just what a mess. My wife and I went up to Beth Israel Hospital. That's the one in Newark, right? Beth Israel. Beth Israel. And we walked in the room. Now up until this point, I had no evidence that Billy was saved. He went to church, you know, Protestant church, stuff like that. But, you know, we had tried to minister to him before time. But we never had the evidence that he actually received Christ. So we went up to the hospital, and just, as soon as we walked in, it was like you just felt this evil presence. Because your spirit picks up on things. Your spirit's alive. You are a spirit being living in a body. You have to understand that. Always emphasize the spirit part of who you are. And so then this nurse walked in, and immediately as soon as she walked in, I decided, this person's into voodoo and all kinds of that kind of stuff, you know. So we asked her, you know, we want to spend some time and we want to pray for him. Now, he's in a coma. He's He's bleeding from his nose. He's bleeding from his ears. He's bleeding from his mouth. It's just, he looked like something got hit by a car on the side of the road. He looked horrible, just horrible. Eyes just gelled over. And so we begin to speak the gospel to him and tell him about Jesus and how he died for his sins. And I said, Billy, we're going to pray. We took his hand. We're going to pray. And he's out of it. We're going to pray. We begin to pray. As soon as we got to the part of, Jesus, I believe in you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior, his eyes cleared up. His eyes totally cleared up and just looked at us. And as soon as we were done praying, he went right back into that and he passed away, three days later. Again, the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Jesus guaranteed that. Okay, that was some of the things that he shared at the Last Supper, just the night before he knew he was going to go to the cross. So, I don't want us in the future, in eternity, to stand before Jesus and he say to us, not just me, but to us, what did you do with the message I sent through my prophets? I tried to get you to pray. This thing could have been averted. Things could have been changed. And if you're not familiar with this whole scope of Christianity, this is real. I challenge you, when you go home tonight, to Google Howell. Reese Howell. Anybody ever heard of a man named Reese Howell? Most intercessors are nobody knows about them because their work is done behind the scene. But if you go Google Reese Howell, you will find out that this man during World War II lived in England. I believe he lived in London. And this man, all he did was pray, pray, pray. And the Holy Ghost would speak to him and say, go to the military, go to the leadership and tell them that the Germans are going to be at such and such a point to make sure that they alert their troops. The Germans are going to be there. In fact, they almost imprisoned him because they thought for sure that he was a spy because he knew stuff that nobody should have known. But the Holy Ghost was showing them. And some people credit World War II going the direction it did because of the prayers of that one man. Wow. Listening to me? So, you already made me take 20 minutes of my time tonight to just enforce and emphasize, please be here Friday night, as many as you can, and come in faith. Amen? Amen. All right, so I told you about the book already, right? All right. Now, there's only 19 of them left. 23 of them left out there now. Because, whatever. All right, you ready? What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Blood covenant.
Okay, good. Blood covenant is the most important concept in the Word of God because without understanding the concept of blood covenant, you cannot really fully comprehend what the Bible is about. The Bible is a blood covenant. It is a covenant written in blood. It's a covenant between God and technically, now I know I'm reviewing some of this stuff because we've been talking about this for the past 4 weeks. Technically, you and I are in covenant with God per se, but the only way that you and I are in covenant with God is because we're in Christ. Okay? Pam, go to Ephesians chapter 2 there. I was going to bring my Bible out of my office and I left it there. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you there?
No.
You're not there?
I was in Genesis, sorry.
Oh, Genesis, my God. It's a little bit further back. Genesis chapter 2. I want you to see a scripture. Okay. What did I say? You got me in Genesis now. Last week it was the 24, to 24. Today it's Genesis. Ephesians chapter 2. It's in the New Testament. Oh, so much good stuff in Ephesians.
Amen.
Start in verse 10. Can I just hold on to this for a little bit? Do me a favor next time, buy a Bible with a little bit bigger print. I'll split it with you so you have it on hand. No, I'm good. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what?
Walk
in them. What are we supposed to do with them?
Walk.
Are we just supposed to talk about good works?
No.
Are we supposed to dream about good works?
No.
Are we supposed to just tell everybody else what good works we're called to?
No.
What are we supposed to do?
Walk
in them. In other words, take some action, okay? Now watch. Stay right there. What are we talking about? We're talking about if you don't understand the concept of blood covenant, you really have not read the Bible yet. Okay? Now listen. The blood covenant is entered into when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
It is exclusively for those who have received Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Okay? You getting this?
Yeah.
So, now, you didn't know that. I didn't know that when I first said, Jesus, I believe in you. Commit to my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I didn't know that. It's an automatic enrollment. But unless you go study it, you don't know what you've been enrolled in. Are you getting this? Go back. Go to verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, in other words, unbelievers, who were called uncircumcision by what's called by the circumcision. In other words, you were a Gentile. You were called an ungodly person by those who have received the circumcision, which is who?
Jewish.
The Jewish people, okay? The Jewish Judaism. Made in the flesh by hands. Keep going. That at that time, watch this now, you were without Christ, so we could say it this way, you were without Messiah, okay? Being what? Now, he's not talking about little green people. He said you were aliens. In other words, outsiders. In other words, not part of the whole thing. That now you were one time without Christ or without Messiah, being aliens from the what? Commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of what? Promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You seeing this? Is that echoing because I'm down here?
No.
No, I'm asking him back there. Next verse. But now, say but now.
But now.
In Christ Jesus, you who were once what?
Far off.
Who were once what?
Far off.
Do you remember what it felt like to be?
Far off.
Okay. So you were once, were far off, but now having been brought near by what?
Blood.
The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ brings you near.
Amen.
The blood of Christ sealed the agreement between God and Jesus.
Amen.
God and Jesus. God to the Son. Will you go to the earth? Will you go and confine yourself to a flesh and blood and bone body? Will you go there and be subject to all the limitations of physical life on earth? Will you go there and suffer a horrible death, open up your veins, shed your blood so that they can be saved?
Amen.
And the Son said, yes. So now the covenant is between God the Father and God the Son. How do we get in? In Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Do it right. Do it right. Ready? Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because you entered into a covenant that you never had before. A covenant that guarantees you eternal life. A covenant that cleanses you from sin. A covenant that allows the Spirit of God to come and live on the inside of you so that you then could become a messenger of that covenant to others who've not entered in yet.
Amen.
But it's all because of the blood.
Amen.
You got it?
Yes.
So we who were afar off at one time, aliens from the agreement that God made with Abraham on behalf of Israel, which Jesus came to ratify. Okay, a lot of legal language here, but this is legal things. These are legal things. Okay? The angels show up outside of Bethlehem the night that Jesus is born. What's their message? What's his message? Today, a Savior has been born. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born. Christ the Lord. Okay? And what did he say? I'll paraphrase it for you so you can remember it easier. The war is over. God sent an angel to declare the war is over. There is no more obstacle between man and God. This baby is going to bear on himself all of the punishment of mankind so that no longer does man have to live separate from God and God separate from man. Amen. What was he announcing? The fulfillment of the covenant is here. What? How did this covenant begin? God says to Eve, what have you done? The serpent convinced me. The serpent tricked me. And what did God promise? Okay, I'm going to send somebody that's going to crush his head, and in crushing that serpent's head, he's going to bruise that person's heel. When did that happen? At the cross. It's all covenant. It's all promises. It's all contractual. It's all agreements. This entire Bible that you're holding, can I, is that a Bible? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I got it.
All right, they're blessed anyway. This is the agreement that God made with mankind. It's not a storybook. It's not lovely poetry. It's not history. This, if you go out in your car, if your car is fairly new, and you open up the glove compartment, nobody wears gloves anymore, I don't know why they call it glove compartment. If you open it, what do you have in there? A what?
Owner's manual.
An owner's manual teaches you what?
How to operate the car.
What rights you have in case there's something wrong with the car. Yes or no?
Yes.
Now, I'm not the type, I wouldn't even know it was in there if it wasn't for my wife. My wife, as soon as we buy a car, she's reading the manual to me. I don't want to read this. I got enough stuff in my head. I don't have room for this stuff. But she wants to know. How does this thing work? I want to get in, push the button, and go. But unfortunately, that's how most Christians live. Oh, I'm not going to hell anymore? Oh, wonderful. Okay, I'll see you when I die. And therefore, most Christians don't know what God... Watch this. This is why this is so important. Most Christians don't know exactly what God has committed himself on your behalf. That's why the devil gets over on us. That's why the devil will come and put sickness on somebody's body and then convince you that God was the one that did it. Because you don't know that he said, I am the God who heals you. In fact, healeth. I am the God who healeth thee. Continual action. He wants you to think that you're he's mad at you all the time. He wants it, and you go, God's mad at me. Because you never read the part where it says that God now in this age, since Jesus died on the cross, is no longer imputing our sins against us.
Amen.
Why? Because he took it all and put it on Jesus.
Amen.
But you see, if you don't read the covenant, if you don't go look for the fine print, somebody's going to get over on you. That's why this is so important. Now, the key feature of this covenant is blood. It's blood. It's blood. Because the life is in the blood. You can live without a kidney. You can live without a lung. You can live without a limb. But you can't live without
blood.
Because the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. That's why he had to have his back ripped open by the Romans. That's why they had to crush his skull with the pierced through with the thorns. That's why they had to pierce his hands, pierce his feet. Why? Let's get this blood out of this holy body as much as we possibly can. Don't you remember how important it was? Do you remember after he rose from the dead? When the women that went to the tomb, they turn around, they see him. Mary throws herself at his feet. And what does he say? Don't touch me. I have not yet gone to my God and your God, to my Lord and your Lord. What was he doing? Hey, there's a little bit left here. I've got to go and bring it and present it on the altar in heaven. That's when we got redeemed. That's when we got redeemed. That God not only allowed Jesus to go to the cross, but he allowed that blood to be payment for you and for me. But Jesus had to ascend it to heaven and take whatever, I don't know where it came from, if he squeezed his fingers, I don't know where it came from, but he had to bring some of that blood and place it on the altar. Why? Why did he say, don't touch me? Why? Because the high priest in the temple, when the blood was taken into the Holy of Holies, nobody could touch him. And if you go look and go research this for yourself, the vessel that was used to collect the blood of the sacrifices, to bring it behind that veil, to present it, was a vessel that was shaped like a cone with no bottom. Why? Because you can't put it down. Because when you put blood down, it starts to coagulate. And so that's why you see a priest going like this when they're going in a temple. Okay? They call it davening. It's an act of worship. Okay, they used to put bells on the bottom of the robe of the priest. Why? In case when he went in there, if he had sin in his life, he drops dead. Who's going to go get him? They had a rope around his waist. If this guy dies, listen. Oh, bells are ringing. He's still good. Bells on the bottom of his robe. He's going like this. Okay? If the bell stopped, everybody looked at each other. Who's going in? I ain't going in. Why? I'm more messed up than that guy was. If he died, I don't have any. What do? They yank him out. Why? It's all about the blood. So Jesus, the high priest. Oh, my God. Are you getting this picture?
Yes.
He's the vessel that contained the blood that God Almighty was going to receive on our behalf.
Yes.
And so he says there, don't touch me. I'm not yet. But what happened when he came back later that afternoon? Look at my wounds. Look at my hands. He allowed them to touch him. Why? He already went to heaven. He took his blood, put it on the altar in heaven. There's an altar in heaven? Yeah. Don't you remember? You remember because you studied this in the book of Exodus. Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights, right? And what was he doing up there? God was showing him the design of the temple. Where? In heaven. Oh, there's a temple in heaven? Yeah. It's exactly the instruction that Moses got. He saw the temple in heaven, came down here and said, guys, we got to build something here. This is how it has to happen. This is how it has to be. And the instruction was given to Moses. Okay? Well, that it's still there.
Amen.
The mercy seat is still there. There's an Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the what?
Covenant.
Ark of the what?
Covenant.
Covenant. Here's that word again. Where is it? It's in heaven. It wasn't just Indiana Jones. It's in heaven. Are you getting this? Turn to somebody and say, it's all about the blood. Blood has a voice. Blood speaks. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. A lot of scripture. Okay, going to follow me? What translation is that? That's not New King James. Is that what I have here? Oh, okay, good, okay. And no, that's not what I have here. I'm going to read it from here. And Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. Cain. Remember him? Okay, when we say Cain, we should go, nah, 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 nah. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks. Say flocks.
Flocks.
Okay, what flocks of what? What do you think it was?
Sheep.
And Cain worked the soil. Dun, 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 dun. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. If you have a sheep, how do you get the fat portions out of that sheep? What happens when you slice, when you,
blood.
What comes out?
Blood.
What comes out?
Blood.
If you slice a tomato, what comes out?
Juice.
Slice a carrot, what comes out?
Juice.
Peppers, eggplants. What is God looking for?
Blood.
Thank you. So in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions, some of the firstborn. Not leftovers. You don't give God leftovers. A couple of people back here got it. The rest of them are like, I don't want to hear it. You don't give God leftovers. You give God your first and you give God your best. Okay? The Lord looked with favor on who?
Abel.
And his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Why? Why? Because Cain should have known better. Because Adam knew. You remember what happened when Adam was confronted by God? He hid. God says, where are you? Come out here. What did he do? When he came out, what was he fashioning? Fig, look at my pretty fig leaves. Fig leaves don't work. It's first religion. Very first religion it was established. Fig leaf. Instead of running to God, they tried to cover themselves. That's what religion does. Tries to cover it. We try to cover ourselves with rituals, with spectacles, with whatever. Instead of coming to God by faith, we try to cover ourselves. So look at the good deeds that I did, and look at, you know, how much I gave to the church, and look at the stained glass window with my name on it, and look at, and you just add it on and add it on and add it on. I don't eat meat on this day, and I don't, you know, I'm not talking about just you know where I came from. So we don't walk on Saturdays, we don't wear this on, and we don't mix our clothing, and we don't eat bacon, and we don't eat shrimp, and we don't. They're all fig leaves. It's all fig leaves. And there's only one thing that happens with fig leaves. They curl up and die. And you're still left. You following me here? So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? What was he saying to him? Why did you bring me fruit? Your father knew that it took lambs being slain and their skin covering him with the blood and everything to bring him back where he could stand in my presence. Something had to die. Cain, you won't die. You're trying to bring me a substitute. Instead of bringing me what I have prescribed, you should bring me. Are you getting this?
Yes.
It's all about the blood. Why? Because every one of those sacrifices pointed to Jesus. Every one of those sacrifices pointed to the Lamb of God who took away the sins of this world. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Do you see? If you don't understand the significance of blood, if you don't understand the concept and the principles of covenant, you don't understand. Here's the biggest thing, because I want to make sure I say this, because there's no way I'm even going to come close to finishing my notes tonight. You need to understand the covenant of God with man, because it's only in the covenant that you understand the commitment that he has made to us.
Amen.
Without understanding covenant, you really don't understand the love that God has for us. He is committed. We talked about this last week, that phrase that you see all throughout the Old Testament when God speaks to somebody. But as for me, but as for me, but as for me, but as for me, what's he saying to us? You're going to live your life the way you want it. I've done everything to reach your heart. You still have the freedom to go to hell if you want. But as for me, I love you. As for me, I'm committed to you. As for me, I will be your savior. I will be your deliverer. I will be your God. I will be your father. I will be the husband to the widow. I will be the father to the fatherless. I will be your healer. I will be your peace. I will be your joy. I will be your righteousness. I will be your shield. I will be the one who fights for you. I will be your victory. As for me, I will do all these things for you. It's up to you if you're going to receive it or not. So watch. So God says to Cain, if you do right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is what? Look at this picture. Sin is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. In other words, you set yourself up here. If you don't do what's right, you will not have the power to resist sin. What was he doing? He wasn't putting God first. When we do not put God first, man, I can go in so many different directions with this tonight. When there's an area of our lives that we do not put God first in, we will never be disciplined in that area. Because the only way we pick up the power, the grace, the strength in order to resist temptation is when we choose to go, here's a temptation. I can go that way if I want to. It's going to be consequences. I can go. He doesn't have a choker chain on us. Okay? I can go that way if I want to. There's going to be consequences. But I'd rather have Jesus. Are you getting this? I'd rather have Jesus. Okay? Pam, yes. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. King James, New King James, if you can. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. I know I throw these things at you at the last minute. I'm sorry. I'm totally off my notes. All right, go back 11, starting 11. Bless you. Here it is, look at this. Very important principle. This is a principle. How many of you know if you work the principles, you get the results? Amen. You got that? How about over here? Over here, people are still worrying about it. They're thinking about it. If you follow, principles work every time. If I walk off the edge of this platform, I'm not going to float, am I? I'm going to what? Why? Gravity is a principle, right? Okay. Watch this now. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Who's the grace of God that brings salvation?
Jesus.
For the grace of God, but let's just say, go back. Let's just say that the subject here is grace, right? It's grace. The focal point, if I could put it that way, the focal point of this verse is what? Grace. So let's put it this way. Grace that brings salvation, because we're saved by grace through faith, has appeared to all men. All right, come on. To all men, grace. Teaching us. Grace teaches us. I know some of you are going, here he goes again. Because last year or the year before, I spent months teaching this principle. Grace teaches us. That's why most of the teaching that you're being exposed to online, on television, on whatever, in books, is not scriptural grace. Because grace should never lead to people having freedom to sin continuously. Amen. Because grace is supposed to what?
Teach
us. If your grace is not teaching you, you didn't tap into grace. Teaching us that what? Denying what? Ungodliness and what? Worldly lust. We should live soberly. What does it mean to live soberly? Stable, accurate, not drunken, not distracted, not delusional. Okay? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in the present age. Next verse. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious what? Say it loud. Glorious what? Appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That applies to us today. Pastor, I'm just overwhelmed. I keep falling in this cycle. I keep falling in this sin. Okay. Calm down. Tap into this principle. Father, I'm taking hold of your grace, which gives me the power and teaches me how to do what? Deny. Not even resist. Deny it. No, no, no. I'm not even going to let you get in my mind. I'm not going to even let you get my... I'm denying you ungodliness. I'm denying you. I'm not even going to let you get a foothold in my life. I am denying you. I will not even acknowledge that you exist. You see it? Now, do you think that grace is only available to us because Paul wrote that? In whatever year, 60-something A.D.? No, that same grace was available to Cain in Genesis chapter, what is it, 4? Chapter 4. So the same God who eventually then came to earth, went to the cross, purchased our salvation, made grace available to us, was the same God who was issuing grace to Cain, telling him, I know what you're about to do to your brother. Don't do it. You're dangerous, Cain, because you've already established a precedent of rebellion against me because you knew you were supposed to bring me a sacrifice with blood and you ignored me and defied me and in rebellion chose to bring me a fruit platter. I don't need your fruit platters. I don't need your veggie trays. I don't need any of that. It's blood that covers sin. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So is it easier to understand the commitment that he's made to us? If he committed his own son, you remember the teaching from a couple of weekends ago? We talked about God tells Abraham, take your son, your only son, bring him to a place I'm going to show you. We found out that there was Mount Moriah in Jerusalem that you could go to today. If you can get through all the garbage that's going on in Jerusalem, you can go to that spot today where God told Abraham, this is where I want you to sacrifice your son. Right here, right here, right here. And what happened when he went to sacrifice him? Stop. Don't lay a hand on the lad or young man. And then what did Abraham do? Abraham looks up and there's another hill just a little ways from Mount Moriah. And we call that hill Mount Calvary. Today. And he looks over in the distance and he sees a ram stuck in this thorn bush by its horns. Do you need a clearer picture?
No.
Jesus with the crown of thorns on his head. And Abraham goes and gets that ram and brings it over and sacrifices that thing. That's why today in the Muslim world they have a holiday. I don't think it's Ramadan. There's another holiday where they have to take a sheep, they have to bring it to the threshold of their door, slit its throat so the blood could cover that. Where do you think they got that from? Because, you know, the Arab nations are children of Abraham too. But not through Sarah. Through his Egyptian, her Egyptian slave girl. And his name was?
Ishmael.
Ishmael. You getting this? So what happens now? Let's continue. Let's finish this part anyway. So God says to him, look, do what is right. If you do what is right, you'll be accepted. But if you do not do what is right, verse 7, sin is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must what? Master it. What does it say there? Rule over it. You have to rule over it. How are you going to do it? In your own strength? Forget it. In our own strength, we fall for sin all the time. But if we tap into Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, we tap into that grace, then we can say to sin, we can say to that temptation, I deny you access to my life. I will not choose you. I can if I want to, but I will not. I will not shame my Lord. I will not shame the covenant that he made on my behalf. So what happens? Let's look. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. So obviously he didn't master the temptation. He didn't rule over it. And while they were in a field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and what? Killed him. So look at this. He was willing to spill his brother's blood, but he wasn't willing to spill the blood of an animal. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Look at to where his heart got. How bad does your heart have to get to have no remorse? You just killed your brother. No remorse. Doesn't he realize that God knows everything? Am I my brother's keeper? But watch this now. Where did it start? Where did this heart condition start? Rebellion. Rebellion. You know darn well that Adam taught his boys, you cannot approach God Almighty without blood. Abel knew. Cain is the firstborn. He would have shared it with Cain before he would have shared it with Abel. Abel walked in righteousness. Cain walked in what? Rebellion. And that's why we need to be so careful about our heart. We need to be so careful about obedience. We need to be so careful. Why? Because every little incident of rebellion draws us further and further away from his heart and causes the condition of our heart to become hardened, embittered, desensitized. Desensitized. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. This is the book of Hebrews written to who? All right, who's buried in Grant's tomb? Who's buried in Grant's tomb? Who's the book of Hebrews written to? Thank you. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, God, we can talk about this one. To an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made what? Wait, what? The spirits of just men made what? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one sacrifice, by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. You getting this? Okay. Verse 24. To Jesus, the mediator of the what covenant?
New covenant.
And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. In other words, his blood is superior. He is the once and for all sacrifice that makes your spirit perfect. What are we working on? What are we here for tonight? Why am I standing here teaching? What are we working on now? Our spirits or our souls? Our souls. Our souls. That's an obligation we have. Are you getting this? The blood has a voice. Abel's blood cried out from the ground. Jesus' blood cried out from the ground. Jesus' blood cries out from heaven. It's done. It's finished. It's completed. You getting this? The blood has a voice. His blood speaks. You're cleansed. You're forgiven. You're saved. Your spirit is now qualified to enter eternity and stay in the presence of God.
Amen.
Not because of us. Not because you're so good. Not because you got your act together. Not because you don't curse anymore. You don't drink anymore. You don't fool around. You don't do any. Not because of any of those things. Now, I'm not saying go out and do those things. But you stopping doing that didn't gain heaven for you. You placing your faith in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for you, gained heaven for you. As a result now, we allow grace to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires so that we could live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. Go back to that scripture. Titus chapter 2, I believe, was verse 14. I want you to see something. Go back to 13. Let's just start from scratch. Go back to 11. We got a couple of minutes. Remember that. Write this down for yourself. Titus chapter 2, starting verse 11. Verse 11 and verse 14. Important principles. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Next verse. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, like somebody who's right, like somebody who's in good position with God. Okay? And godly in the present age. Present age. Present age. Next verse. Looking. No, it's supposed to do this. This is what we're doing until the next event on God's calendar. Look at this. Looking for the blessed what? Hope and glorious what?
Appearing.
Say it nice and loud again.
Appearing.
Appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might what? Redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for what?
Good works.
Remember Ephesians 2:10? For you, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, to do the good works that he ordained for us, that we should what? Walk in them. Okay? Go back to 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious what?
Appearing.
Appearing. Appearing. What is that talking about?
Rapture.
The rapture. That's not the second coming. It doesn't say looking for the blessed hope and glorious return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says what? What are we looking for now? In this present age right now, what are we looking for? His what? Appearing. 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 Come tonight, Lord. Appear tonight, Lord. The appearing. When Jesus appears in the sky and every saint, every person that's ever lived on the earth that's dead for all these centuries that put their faith in Jesus Christ, every person that's alive right now that placed their faith in Jesus Christ, I'll fly away, oh glory. Out of here. Oh, that's ridiculous. It's never happened before. A lot of things never happened before they're going to happen. A lot of things never happened before until they happened. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Any day. Any day. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
It's only the ones that are ready are going.
Yes.
Only the ones that are ready are going. Only the ones that are covered by the blood are going.
Amen.
I pray if you're not, that you get ready.
And
I'm not talking about your life after you got saved and maybe you messed up. No, I'm not talking about that. Your spirit is perfected in Christ.
Yes.
Now just stop messing up. Stop stumbling into things. Stop allowing yourself to get set up to fall into sin. You know when it's coming. You know when it's coming. We all know. No excuse. We know. I'm talking about people who have never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Who have never made that declaration, who have never got enrolled in the covenant to begin with. You cannot afford to live that way today. Because there is nothing left to happen before the appearing.
Amen.
Second coming? Yeah, different story. Two separate occasions. Two separate returns of Jesus Christ. One is in the air. And all the believers join him. Cemeteries are going to pop open like popcorn all over the place. Boom, 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 boom. People are going to come out of that grave. And some of them people come out of that grave, we're going to go, you came out of the grave? You're going? And some of them are going to go, I never thought you'd make it. The world will never be the same. Just like when the flood came in Noah's time, the world was never the same. Did not look the same. The maps did not look the same. The continents did not look the same. Nothing was the same. And it's going to happen again when Jesus appears. Well, Pastor, what about an airplane? What? I don't know. What if like I'm in a bus and the bus driver's not saved? I don't know. Or the bus driver's saved and I don't know. I'm sure God's big enough to work it all out. But all I know is this, man, when that trumpet sounds, by the time Gabriel takes that trumpet out of his mouth, I'll be there. Amen. Hallelujah. And what does the Bible call that appearing? The blessed hope. That's what we're hoping for. That's why we get up every day in faith. Every day we commit our lives to the Lord. Every day we say, Lord, what do you want to do today? What instructions do you have for me today? Lord, are you coming today? Lord, should I send the payment out today? Lord, there's still a 10-day grace period. It ain't going to matter. You might as well send a check. You're not taking any of that with you anyway. We'll all stay behind. And we won't have one regret. As soon as we put our feet on those streets of gold, we're going to go, what bank account? What car? What house? I had a house? What's a house? Glory to God. What'd you say? A mansion. Now they say there's a sea of glass up there. I guess that's the closer you come to the ocean. Mine will be right on the beach. God already knows. If I can't get it here, I'll get it there. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, we got good things to look forward to. But remember, it's all about the blood. Next week, we'll continue. We'll talk about how the blood cleanses. We'll talk about the power that's in the blood. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come on up for anything. If you need prayer to receive Christ, come on up. If you need prayer for anything that's going on, come on up. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming out tonight.